Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
The only persons to whom I am irreplaceable are my husband and children. I am my kids' only mom, and I'm my husband's only wife, and it is my great blessing to be able to serve them.
The United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Bin Laden was not a Muslim leader. He was a mass murderer of Muslims.
For as much as William and Catherine have consented together in holy wedlock, I pronounce that they be man and wife together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
If you are going to church to learn practical tips for healthy living, I'll tell you what St. Paul said. If we are to hope for Christ only in this world, then we are to be the most pitied of all men.
Homeschool families love Issues, etc. We have issues.
Well, every pastor who calls himself a Lutheran, at least in theory, is required to know something about, sad to say, perhaps maybe not much, but something about his confession. And when, if you call yourself a Lutheran, and speaking again narrowly about pastors, the confession is rather specific. It's a book that was compiled over a number of decades and finally finalized in the mid-16th century, the late 16th century, called the Book of Concord. It contains a list of confessions. It contains several documents. Now, the question for this first hour is, who is this book for? Is it only for pastors? The Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, those documents that are at the heart of the Reformation. And then a little later in this first hour, if it is for more than just pastors, how seriously should we take the Lutheran Confessions? Are they merely descriptive of the 16th century, that particular time in history and place during the Reformation led by Martin Luther? Or are they prescriptive for all who call themselves Lutheran and follow in the footsteps of the Reformation up until today? Our first hour, we're going to be talking live this Wednesday afternoon, May the 11th, Pastor Chris Hull about the Lutheran Confessions for Lay People. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second part of the first hour, Pastor Larry Bean of Salem Lutheran Church in Gretna, Louisiana, will be our guest. We'll take up that question. Are the Lutheran Confessions prescriptive or are they descriptive? Terry Mattingly will join us in the second hour of the program. We'll talk the media's use of the term fundamentalist across religious bounds. And Alan Wisdom will join us after that. The news coming from the Presbyterian Church USA, the largest Presbyterian church body in the United States, has voted finally through its presbyteries, that's all its different divisions of the church in America, to allow openly gay pastors to occupy the pulpit and a place by the altar. Many people saw this coming. They expected it to happen, but it's difficult nonetheless. Alan Wisdom of the Institute on Religion and Democracy will be our guest. Then Bill McKeever will join us. It appears that some Mormon scholars and leaders are nuancing the story, the classic, age-old story of Joseph Smith and the golden plates he claimed to have found. How important is the Book of Mormon and those claims to the Mormon religion? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page. Answer the question, Lutheran Confessions, prescriptive or descriptive, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Chris Hull is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and he's kind enough to join us here in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon to talk about the Lutheran Confessions for lay people. Chris, welcome to Issues, etc.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, how central, how important are the Lutheran Confessions, or should they be, to a Lutheran, whether they be a pastor or a layperson?
When we look at the Lutheran Confessions, we begin first with Holy Scripture. As the Formula of Concord declares, Holy Scripture is the fountain of Israel from which all confession is drawn. goes right there for then into the confessions, specifically the Augsburg Confession, being the central assertion of the Lutheran faith. Outside of this confession, at least the writers of the formula were not understanding the Lutheran faith. This confession, confessed June 25th, 1530, is what defines Lutheranism. I'm making you choke up there. I tell you, my words do that sometimes.
No, I'm all right. I tell you. I'm getting choked up. The Lutheran confessions.
I tell you, it chokes me up too. I cry like a baby every time I read them.
Tears in my eyes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so it sounds like they are as central. They are considered as central alongside, but obviously not
the guided
equal
guide,
to.
Yeah.
They are alongside Holy Scripture as far as their centrality to what makes a Lutheran.
Well, even thinking of this, even the way the writers of the formula speak of the confessions, they speak the same way as they speak of the three ecumenical creeds. We confess those in our liturgy. I don't think any Lutheran would be in line of saying, let's just get rid of the Apostles' Nicene, maybe the Athanasian Creed. But I don't think they would want to get rid of those. But ask anyone what the Augsburg Confession is or the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and they just are not aware of what these documents are.
Now, I think it's commonly believed that the Lutheran confessions are kind of a manual for pastors, maybe even for church leaders and congregations, but that for the lay people, maybe Luther's Small Catechism, and that's a big maybe nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
In Lutheran,
yeah,
circles. You will not find many Lutheran churches even using that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two of those creeds,
yeah,
that you mentioned before, but the rest of it is not relevant,
no,
to the laity.
Yeah.
How would you respond to that?
I would respond first, as you mentioned, the Small Catechism. Luther did not write the Small Catechism for pastors. He wrote it for the heads of the household, fathers to educate not just their children but their wives, their children to listen and honor the fourth commandment by listening to their father and his instruction of the basics of the Lutheran faith, the Christian faith, and then wives submitting in a good way to their husbands and being taught by them what it means to be a baptized child of God.
So in a nutshell, Chris, who is the Book of Concord intended for?
I would say, who confessed it? Let's look at the Augsburg Confession. You don't see Luther's name written at the end. You don't see Philip Melanchthon's name. You see John the Steadfast. You see John Frederick. You see the Margraves, or George. This is who you see confessing it. And then even in the concluding part of part one, when Melanchthon writes it, he says, this is for us to defend the faith, to continue the Christian thought, but also to bequeath on to our children. Now, the pastor can't be running around town trying to bequeath this faith upon every single child. This is the basics of the faith that the father or the mother would then pass on to their children.
So your point there about, at the very least, the Augsburg Confession, which is, after the creeds, the initial document in the Book of Concord, your point then is that even historically, the confessors of that document were lay people,
yeah,
and not the clergy or the professional theologian.
No. I mean, that's the thing. You have the great defenders of the faith, men that we honor today as great champions of Lutheranism. They weren't pastors. We have our pastors. We have Luther. We have Chemnitz. Well, Melanchthon himself was not a pastor, but a professional theologian. And you continue that without these bold men who were not pastors confessing the faith, who knows where we would be today? If not for Frederick the Wise, would we have Luther?
So where are we today, Chris? I mean, we have a lot of Lutheran churches, that is, at the very minimum, churches that either refer to themselves as Lutheran on the sign outside,
yeah,
or in a more surreptitious way might admit that they're Lutheran at their website through some sort of a link to a national church body, but don't really push that forward in any public way.
Yeah.
And I dare say that the vast majority of lay people who call themselves Lutheran in one form or another wouldn't be able to even tell you what the Augsburg Confession, the very first thing there, is about.
No. And even when we get into it, and I believe it lies in the fault of our clergy not reading the confessions themselves and being able to teach the confessions. Most laity, when you ask them what it means to be Lutheran, they come with a generic Protestant response. When you actually get into what the Lord's Supper is, they'll talk of a spiritual presence or a real presence, but not the bodily presence of Christ, Jesus, body and blood, under the bread and the wine. And I think the problem here is when we define ourselves as Lutheran, we don't read what it means to be Lutheran. We don't read the confessions. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are falling away from let's remove Lutheran from our signs. We're Christians and then Lutherans, maybe. Let us keep behind closed doors our Lutheran identity because people don't know what that Lutheran identity is. And I think that is the problem we have today.
I think every pastor probably faces this on a day-to-day basis. You recently faced it going to a congregation as a new pastor in Normal, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, we've only got about a minute before we take our first break, how did you break it to your congregation, so to speak, that it was not only their privilege but also their obligation to acquaint themselves and
yeah.
to allow you to acquaint them with yeah. the Lutheran confession?
I started, and Luther talks about this in his preface argument against Erasmus and Bondage of the Will, that the Holy Spirit is given to make assertions. That is why the Spirit is given to you. Be passionate about it. This is given to you by God. Proclaim it. Read it. Study it. Soak yourself in it. Why would you not want to hear anything except the blood of Christ flowing over your mouth, the words of Christ flowing in your ears? This is all you would want to know and all you would want to hear for you. And I think that's the problem is when we adopt the confessions, we come with a dry approach instead of, this is a gift from God, a gift of the Spirit to us.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm interested in what the reaction was. I mean, realistically, what was the reaction when a pastor says to his congregation, who may be heretofore rather unacquainted with anything surrounding the Lutheran confessions, guess what, folks? We call ourselves Lutheran. Let's be Lutheran. Let's know what it is we believe from the primary sources, the Lutheran confessions. Their reaction after this, our guest, Pastor Chris Hull, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Chris Hull talking about the Lutheran Confessions for lay people. Then we'll stay on the subject of the Lutheran Confessions. And we'll answer the question with Pastor Larry Bean Are they prescriptive? That is, do they tell us what to believe? In essence, are they canon law, more or less? Or are they descriptive? And if they are descriptive, does that mean we can disregard whatever we want to in there? Oh, it's just a description of 500 years ago in Germany. Before the break, you were talking about introducing, or let's say reintroducing, your Lutheran lay people to the Lutheran Confessions. What was their initial reaction? How did you go about it?
Well, when I started, I first began with creating a passion in our Lutheran heritage. Many people are unaware of the depth of the history of the Lutheran Church, not just Luther himself, but taking men like Philip Melanchthon, the bold confessor Flacius, and then getting into the history of the Missouri Synod, C.F.W. Walther, Winnikin, Seeler, Kramer, then getting into the battle over the Bible with Preuss, both J.O. and Robert Preuss, and then even into our context today with our new president, Matthew Harrison, giving them, I hate saying the word pride, but almost a passion to want to know more about who are we as Lutherans. And when that question comes up, then we tell them, this is who we are as Lutherans. Let's open the Book of Concord and begin studying what that means. But attaching to it actual people, not just a book with the theology, but these are the men that confessed this faith, who died confessing this faith, who led lives of passion confessing this faith.
Did you have any objections when you first started to reintroduce the Lutheran Confessions?
Oh, yeah. There were minor objections in the congregation. Christ Lutheran has around 350 people worshiping each week, and of that, we've only had a couple of people leave. It hasn't been a massive exodus because of this introduction. I believe, really, it's been a revitalization of the congregation. What is worship? What are acts of mercy? Only when they understand that they are justified by faith in Christ alone, by the means of grace alone, does this faith become vibrant, this living creature in the congregation. But it's the way you approach teaching it is the issue.
So there was some minor objection. What hurdles? How many of your parishioners had ever heard of the Book of Concord or knew what you were talking about?
Well, when I first got there, I asked the question. One of the things I did was I wanted to purchase a Book of Concord for all my elders. I have 12 elders. And I asked them, I said, how many of you own, not have seen, but own a Book of Concord? And one of them raised his hand. So I said, okay, I only have to buy 11 now. And I said, now how many of you have ever read, besides what I've handed you, the Book of Concord? And, they all, stared at me and said, not any of us. So I went and purchased the Book of Concord for each one of them and started going through it. But at the end of those 350 people a Sunday, I would say only a select few actually either had a Book of Concord or knew what one was. And of those, some of them were those related to clergy. Either it was a brother or brother-in-law, or they had dads who were pastors or something like that. But those who just kind of grew up in the Lutheran bubble, it was something that... That's something pastors have. I don't need to have that,
When you mentioned before, kind of telling the stories, the compelling stories and the history that surrounds not only the Reformation but the ongoing life of the Reformation up to the present day. When it came to actually delving into the documents themselves, the confessions themselves, how did you go about it?
What I did was I would intersperse them with the actual stories themselves. When I'm talking about the Lord's Supper, you open up the small catechism or the Augsburg Confession on the Lord's Supper, confessed in 1530, what is a perfect story to talk about is the Marburg Colloquy, talking of how Luther defended the faith, even though he and Zwingli agreed in 14 points of doctrine, yet the one point they disagreed on was the Lord's Supper. And actually telling them what Luther went through going through this, and then saying this is what he confessed, and then getting into it. Actually making it this living, breathing confession instead of just something written on a piece of paper 500 years ago. And it's the same thing confessed today. We may sit down with another denomination and agree on a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, It is the golden ring of theology that we have to confess.
Well, what Luther obviously discovered in his interactions with Ulrich Zwingli in that Marburg colloquy was after they got to point 15 and realized, Luther realized that they didn't agree on the Lord's Supper, he suddenly realized they didn't agree on those other 14 points very much either.
Yeah. And that's the point. When one denies the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, then it gets into the realm of, well, who is Jesus? If the finite cannot contain the infinite, then who is Christ Jesus? What is the atonement? All these things start coming out.
Now, are you talking about kind of a one-time splash of the confessions on a congregation, like other pastors will do? In our more evangelical circles, they'll do 40 Days of Purpose, Rick Warren's old book now, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's there, it's presented, it's pushed real hard, then it's over with, then it's gone. Or are you talking about something more expansive in the whole life of the congregation?
Every week, I put out, inspired by Peter Bender, Reverend Peter Bender, Christ Lutheran at Prayer, which is a prayer guide each week. And at the end of it, I include thoughts from the Lutheran confessions. And right now, we just got into both kinds in the sacrament. So each week, they have a specific article to meditate on. Each week, also a section from the Small Catechism to meditate on as well. So this isn't just a book that you read for doctrine. It is, trying to find the right words, almost a prayer book to a point, a pastoral book, a meditation book. This is something, read this along with Holy Scripture. You read Holy Scripture, then pick up your Book of Concord. It comforts you. It is proper for Christian teaching, but it is not a 40 days, you're done. This is lifelong walk underneath the cross of Christ.
So it sounds like it's incorporated into every aspect of your life with the congregation as much as you can. What do you think about the idea? This is something that my senior pastor does, and I think it's a good way of keeping the confessions before the people, and that is on Sunday morning we have Bible class. Mm-hmm. He has other Bible classes throughout the course of the week as well. But I believe Thursday mornings, especially with the men, if I'm not mistaken, he has confession study.
Yeah.
They go and they study the confessions.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's great. I'm starting a class this summer on Thursdays and Saturdays for Sunday school teachers that can't come to Bible study on Sunday morning. And we're going to go through Lutheranism 101, but I told them this is more than just that. I'm going to have the Book of Concord there, and we're going to be reading parts of it. We're going to be going through it. It's not scary stuff. And if it is scary when you first read it, well, it's like when my youngest son, Manny, started eating. First time he tried swallowing hard, solid food, he choked on it. Mm-hmm. You're going to choke the first time you read the confessions. You may choke the second time you read the confessions. You keep reading it until you can swallow it, until you start growing in it. And then go ask your pastor. And if your pastor doesn't know, then use your Book of Concord to hit him over the head with it and tell him this is something you should know, Pastor.
How do you respond to a pastor who says, and this is a well-meaning pastor, not one of those guys who is doing his best to hide things Lutheran from his people, but one of these pastors who does love the confessions, who does study the confessions himself, but he says, look, you had it easy, Chris. You came in, new pastor, and you were able to introduce this right away. I've neglected my duties. I've been at this congregation for 15, 20 years, and I haven't said nary a word to my congregation about the Lutheran confessions.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's almost too late to bring the subject up. Yeah. It would be very awkward. What would you say to him?
Never too late. I mean, it's never too late. We look at how did the priests feel after the Reformation? They've been going through all of these years. And I'm not comparing these pastors to pre-Roman Catholic priests doing the Mass. But when they get this new gospel there, the passion comes with it. I don't think it's ever too late to introduce the confessions to the people.
So speaking of the Lutheran confessions, your congregation is going to be hosting a conference this summer on the subject of God, man, and the Book of Concord. Tell us about the Magdeburg, I like the title, Magdeburg Conference at Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois.
One of the first cities to adopt the Reformation, and then the first city, if I'm correct, and I may be corrected, to print Luther's works as well, Magdeburg. And then, of course, the city where Flacius sought refuge, Matthias Flacius. The Magdeburg Conference is a conference supported by the Lutheran Catechetical Society, and what it is we are trying to reintroduce the confessions to the laity. District President Brian Saunders of the Iowa East District will be the presenter, and he is doing lectures on the first three articles of the Augsburg Confession on God, on original sin, and then on Jesus Christ. So really, who is God? What is the condition of man? And then what is God's eternal will for the salvation of all in Jesus Christ? And this conference is not, this isn't for the pastor. It's don't come to have some, it's not like the symposias at the seminaries. This is to come and be introduced to the confessions. If you're frightened of them, or even pastors who want to know how to introduce the confessions to their congregation, come to this conference and it will enlighten you on not just the content of the confessions, but the great beauty of the confessions.
Folks, you can find out more about the Magdeburg Conference, August the 26th. There's still plenty of time to make plans to attend. August the 26th and the 27th at Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. We'll put that information at our website, issuesetc.org, under the Listen on Demand page. Pastor Chris Hull is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. Chris, thank you very much for coming over. You got a lovely family, and I will assure the listeners that little Manny does swallow his food. I saw him do it right before the show very well now, so the choking is all over. Thanks for coming over.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, when we come back, Pastor Larry Bean will stay on this subject. We'll talk about the Lutheran confessions. Are they prescriptive or just descriptive? Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc. This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A Minnesota school district is blatantly discriminating against some of its students. If you're surprised, you shouldn't be. Regrettably, public schools have done this with some regularity. In the most recent case, the school refused to allow official status to the pro-life, All Life is Valuable club. They've also denied access to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. At the same time, the school allowed the Diversity Club and the Environmental Club. This is important because once recognized, the club gets various benefits and access to space at the school. A lawsuit's been filed on behalf of the pro-life group. Their attorney says pro-life students don't shed their constitutional rights at the school doors. Sadly, it's more evidence of a public school attitude against pro-life and Christianity.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.